spiritually. Well, there will be, as it says in verse 17, a time of suffering, trials, tribulations. Just as Christ did, it says, if so be that we suffer with him. Just as Christ suffered trials and tribulations because of the righteous life that he lived, we can also and will also partake in those trials and tribulations in the process of our conformation to that image. But look at the result. That we may be also, what are the last two words of that verse? Say them with me, come on. Glorified together. Amen. Glorified, exalted, lifted up, made worthy, if you will, redeemed, set into a proper and a prepared place. What does John 14, verses 2 and 3 say? It says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is right now, today, this moment, making ready for that appointed time at which God will send him back to call his children out of this world of sin and suffering so that we can be with him together for eternity. Amen. That's exciting. This morning, I'll ask if you would please pray with me as we look to this message. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We're going to examine today by God's grace. First, our relationship to God. Then our recourse in Jesus Christ. And our resolve with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, as you have preserved your word and have given it and made it available to us freely, Father, without error, without mistake, without misperception or misconstruing, Father, your word is pure and holy and you've given it to us, Lord, that we might examine, that we might be encouraged, that we might be instructed in how we can be recipients of such a blessing. God, I would ask this morning that your Holy Spirit would meet with us here. You've promised us that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are amongst us. And so, Father, as we are gathered today, won't your Holy Spirit please meet with us individually and corporately, that, Father, each one of our personalities might be subdued and that the Holy Spirit might have his way in this place today. Lord, may your will be accomplished in our hearts. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to understand your word as you've given it in its simplicity and its purity and its righteousness. May Jesus Christ be lifted up today. May your will be accomplished. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our relationship to God. Now, before we can talk about, or before we can examine in Scripture, or before we can even think about this promise of being glorified together with Christ, we must first make sure that we meet the requirements as God has set out in his conditional mandates. Requirements? I thought all we had to do was believe. That's right. All we have to do is believe. But unless we believe and receive Christ as our personal Savior and become a child of God, then those blessings are not for us. Looking again at our key verse, we find three words that set that condition. Three words that the rest of this verse rides upon, and if children. Now, I think about the news that we've heard, and maybe you've heard this news lately about certain statements that have been made by a man with the title Pope Francis. I'm not going to reiterate the statements. I'm not going to try, as many are already doing, to clarify what he said. I'm not going to try to analyze what he said. Such statements as Jesus has redeemed all of us already, even the atheists. I may not even have the particular wording correct,
But that's not what's important. The point is that these statements, while certainly controversial, at least, do hold an element of truth. Now, what is that? The point is, the element of truth that these statements hold is that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, did in fact live in a flesh and bone physical body on earth. He was born and he was raised under the established law of God, and yet he never sinned, and he was perfect, and he made redemption available for all of us, even the atheists. It is available to anyone who will receive it. It is not that Christ wasn't tempted to sin. Remember the 40 days in the wilderness as he was tempted by Satan? Three recorded instances. Satan is written. It's recorded specific instances where Satan tempted God, tempted Christ. Luke chapter 4, you'll find the entire text of that if you wanted to look that up at some point. 40 days in the wilderness, Christ was tempted. Remember again also in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 that Jesus Christ, our high priest, and may I insert here that the high priest is in the right and scriptural sense of that word priest. You can look that up and study that out as well if you'd like. Jesus Christ, our high priest, mediator between us and God, was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. You see, Christ fulfilled the whole letter and the whole spirit of the law, and as such, was the only one able to accomplish what we read in Galatians 4 and verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Let's look back into Romans 8 here a little bit. The first part of this chapter really sets up and explains why this matter of why the righteous law of God is not enough to affect our eternal home in heaven. I would encourage you to study out this whole passage for time this morning. We're not going to look at the entire chapter, but for now, look with me starting in verse 3. The Bible says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Now that said, wait a minute, the law was weak? No. What that says, if you look carefully, is that for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. That's our flesh. The law is perfect and the law is righteous. You go and look at the law of God, Ten Commandments and every precept and principle that God has laid out, there is not an unrighteous element anywhere in that law. It was weak through our flesh. Let's go on. Verse 4, it says, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." May I remind you of John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where it says that you must be born again, born both of the water and born of the Spirit of God. You see, we must know this. The only way that we can walk after the Spirit is to possess that very Spirit of God. Jesus Christ fulfilled the letter and the spirit of the law. And through our receiving Christ as our Savior, he can impute that fulfillment of the law to us through his blood, so that from God's perspective, he sees a fulfilled law and a righteous soul. Whew. Boy, that's deep. No, that's truth. Amen. And it's not difficult, it's simple. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." We'll look at that again later on in the message. But know that we have the power to become the sons of God. And when we do, then we have all this made available to us. The only way that we can walk after the Spirit, as it says here in Romans, is to possess the very Spirit of God. How? By first acknowledging, one, that we are sinners without any way of reconciling ourselves back to God. Believing with our whole heart, not just half-hearted, that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Savior. But a complete faith that Jesus Christ is able to save and to keep our souls and to clothe us with his blood cloak of righteousness so that we can have the very Spirit of God living and dwelling within our hearts to guide us into the truth and to be our witness and to testify and intercede between ourselves and the one true holy God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt. There is no question there. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is then, only then, after receiving Christ as our personal Savior, that we will have possession of the Spirit of God to begin to walk after in this life. As I mentioned, John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, earlier we said, wait a minute, you're telling us we've got something to do now? It's conditional on what we do? No. It is conditional on us believing in the name of Jesus Christ, receiving him by faith as our personal Savior. So the first step in the process of being glorified together, that's what our message is about, being glorified together with Christ, the first step is to become a child of God. In our text this morning, look at it again in chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, what about those times when I don't do things quite right and I start feeling guilty and then I start doubting? Well, that's just learning. It's not that you have negated what Christ has done on the cross. You're learning that our own actions cannot fulfill that law. And it's only by faith. Whose faith? Our faith, but it comes from God. Who holds us in that place of salvation? Not us. God does. It says, who could separate us from the love of Christ? Who can remove us? Who could separate us from the very hand of the Father? No one. Not man. No man can separate us from the love of God. That's not even ourselves. If we have received and we have accepted that gift of salvation, our doubts only come because we might not be as close as we'd like to be. And don't forget that Satan's over there. Do you know what you just did? How can you possibly call yourself a Christian? Instills those doubts. It doesn't change our relationship with God. It might change our fellowship if we choose to do things that we're not supposed to be doing. It will, in fact, cause some guilt, and that's a good thing, to bring us back to that person of Jesus Christ, to repent, and to confess, and to be restored into that fellowship. I'm getting off track, but that's okay. It's good stuff. Praise God. Amen. It is only after receiving Christ that we'll have that possession that we can begin to walk after the Spirit. Notice in this text that we read in these three verses the proper capitalization. It's important to note that everything in the Word of God is there for a specific reason. There are tenses and there are forms of words that being translated into English don't carry the same weight, perhaps, as what they might in an original language, but the capitalization is important. If you look at verse 16, for example, the Spirit, capital S, that's the Spirit of God, bearing witness with our spirit, little s, that's what we have in and of ourselves, our own conscience, that we are the children of God. Do you know why it's so important not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is? So that we can come and be reminded that the Spirit of God lives within us and is working to guide us, is working to reprove us, is working to rebuke us, is working to bring us back to that place where we recognize our position to Christ and get on our knees and confess it and receive that forgiveness and restoration. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Being then the children of God brings us to the second stage of our process, the second point, if you will, today, our recourse in Christ. We said first we must become a child of God. And then it says, if children, our recourse is in Jesus Christ. Recourse. That word recourse having the meaning, the literal meaning of a running back or a return path. It's a new path, if you will. Let's think about this for just a moment. It's a new journey, if you will. Before receiving Christ, we were on a path of destruction. Now, we might have been moral, we might have done good things for people, but ultimately, and in reality, for eternity, without the person of Jesus Christ saving us, our path was for ultimate destruction. As you've grown up, you've made mistakes. You've done things that mom or dad have said, don't do that. Perhaps you've even been punished. Nobody likes to think about that, but listen, that's who we are by nature. As far back as the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, then they had children. It was that separated nature from God. It was that sinful nature that they now possessed that was passed on to us by birth. So as we've grown up, we have by nature that separation from God. But now, becoming a child of God, that puts us on a new path. It doesn't matter how much good was done, how moral a person we might have been, or that we are now. It doesn't matter how much good we do. The Word of God is, as Jesus himself stated, our only path, our only way to the Father. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is scripture that tells us how Jesus Christ is the very manifestation of the Word of God. It is the Word of God. This right here, this is the only means by which we can come back to perfect restoration with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, if our new path, if our new recourse, if our change in course is in the person of Jesus Christ, and since God's will for his children is to be conformed to the image of Christ, should we not live the rest of our physical lives pursuing the very same mission that Christ had? Well, yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. If we're to be conformed into the image of Christ, Christ had a mission when he came to earth, didn't he? Yeah, he did. What was Christ's mission when he came to earth? Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 tells us. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. If we're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, then our mission needs to change from our personal accomplishments to that same mission of Christ to seek and to save that which is lost. Friends, we can't save anyone. So how can that be our mission? We're not qualified to redeem any other life. We're not qualified to save anyone because we ourselves, guilty, are sinners, saved only by the grace of God. We are given the mission directive, if you will. The mission that we're given is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be, here's our mission statement, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Our mission is given to be witnesses of Christ, who is able to redeem and to save a soul. Amen? Our mission, like Christ's, is to show others that the person of Jesus Christ can redeem them. Now, if we look at Christ's life for just a moment, we may get a better understanding also of our key verse today. Turn briefly with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. We need to look at this matter of the life of Christ. We're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. We ought to understand what Christ lived like so that we can perhaps attempt to live like that. Hebrews chapter 12, we're looking at verses 2 through 4. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, that's what we're doing, we're examining the life of Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, according to verse number 4. See, just as I mentioned earlier, Christ suffered many trials and temptations and tribulation. Because why? Because of the righteous life that he lived. Remember, he endured all the same temptations that we do. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He led an absolute righteous, law-fulfilling life. That's why he suffered the trials, the temptations. There was also trials and temptations for his learning obedience. Now, he's the Son of God. Why did he need to learn to obey? Well, it might not have been for his own learning, although there was part of it there. But as our example, we learn best sometimes by seeing examples. If Jesus Christ, perfect, holy, righteous, and pure, had to learn obedience to God the Father, but he was God, but he still had to learn obedience and he still had to go through the trials and the tribulations, how dare we say, why me, God, when something happens to us? Remember, folks, that we live in a very sin-sick world. Those that are doing what God has established is evil. Did you get that? Those who are doing what God says is evil don't like it when they are proven wrong. So when they see one or more that are doing right by God's standards, they will do all they can to destroy that righteousness so that they will feel better about themselves. Look what they did. Well, that's just evil. That's not right. That's not fair. They'll run us through the mud just to make themselves feel better because they don't like it when the righteousness proves them wrong. Christ did not look at the moment of any given situation, though, did he? The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him. He didn't look at the particular situation. He didn't look at the particular scourging or the particular ridicule that he was getting at the moment. Christ knew in his heart that there was joy coming. What joy? He's the Son of God. He knew that he was going to be slain on the cross. He knew that he was going to be buried. But he knew also that he was going to be resurrected and that he was going to ascend into heaven and prepare a place for the rest of us. What joy! What joy could Christ possibly experience that would allow him to endure all of those things? May I suggest that it's the joy of the glorifying of the rest of God's children? It says that we are co-heirs with Christ and we'll be glorified together with Christ. Can I submit that the joy that Christ saw was the glorification of the children of God? those who by choice left the fellowship of God, but also by choice can come back rebuking that sin, repenting from it, and being able to be glorified together. The joy is the destruction of all of the evil when God will wipe away all tears. The new heaven and the new earth will become reality. Restoration to only the presence of holiness. No more sin. That's joy for those that will take part. It is for that joy that Jesus endured. Friends, it is that same joy of glorification together with Christ that we ought to be striving for. We ought to be looking ahead to that. It says that we will be glorified together with God. Praise God. But we get so short-sighted. Why is this happening to me today? Not today. I can't handle anything else today, God. Well, yeah, my grace is sufficient for you. The Apostle Paul, 3 times, went to God about this thorn in his flesh. God, please take this away. And God said, my grace is sufficient. But looking ahead to that joy also means that just as Jesus endured, so must we also endure the time that God has us to remain on this earth. With a mission to point others to Jesus Christ, but in so doing and in so trying to live that righteous life so we can be glorified together, we are going to suffer with Him. Look at the text in verse 18, if you would please. Verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's no question that glory is going to be revealed in us who are children of God. If we really consider what God has given us, wrapped up in one word that we know as salvation, we can agree with Apostle Paul, who recorded these words, and may we be further encouraged by God's word. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried, that's our faith, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Evidence all over the place, folks. It's not just once. I missed that. I don't know what that said. No, it's all over the scriptures. We're going to be glorified together with Jesus Christ. Oh, that's just exciting. That's encouraging, isn't it? I hope and I pray that it is. And that should cause us to have some kind of undefeatable resolve. Closing with this point this morning. You see, just as we have seen from God's word that our relationship to God is in the person of Jesus Christ, and our journey from a state of total loss and eternal separation from God is reversed and restored to a path toward eternal life with God in the person of Jesus Christ, right? Our recourse is in Christ. Our relationship to God is in Christ. So too is our resolve found in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the world will tell you, you got to just pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You got to get yourself some self-esteem. You're worth whatever it is you're going through. You deserve better than this. Friends, we deserve the fires of hell. We deserve eternal separation from God because of the choices that we made way back in Eden when God said, hey, one tree, don't eat, and that's where we went. I wasn't in Eden. I didn't take of that forbidden fruit. No, but great, 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 great grandpa did. Had Adam and Eve had children before they took of that forbidden fruit, there might be a different story, but they didn't. We can suppose all we want to. Well, what if they never had disobeyed God? I don't know. We don't know that because that's not what happened. We can get ourselves all self-justified, but that's not the reality. The reality is they sinned, and they passed that on to us. And may I ask you, does any one of us, as we're growing up, have to be told, now you know the difference between right and wrong? Does any one of us, as we're growing up, have to be told that when mom and dad say something, and if I don't want to, I say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't think anybody has to be taught how to do that. No, it's in our nature. Our resolve is found in Jesus Christ. God gives us these promises later on in this chapter of Romans chapter 8. If we look down to verse 32, look with me if you would please. Verse 32 of Romans chapter 8. Backing up to verse 31, the Bible says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Here's the key. Verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Well, verse 37 gives us the answer. Praise God, he answers his own question. We don't have to think about it. He tells us. Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things. What things? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. All those things mentioned in verse 35. He said in verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Boy, that's pretty good for us, isn't it? Let's not skip the last part of that verse. We are more than conquerors, not in and of ourselves, not by pulling ourselves up from the bootstraps, not by putting on a clean coat, a clean set of clothes, and going off and doing what we think we ought to do, not by anything that we can do, friends. It says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, my daddy loves me. So it must be through my daddy. The Bible says that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that he commended his love toward us. That's what it says right here. Through him that loves us. Commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. It goes on and it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, it is up to us. Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to be glorified together with him. If so be, verse 9 of our chapter says, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What a promise. Have you seen it? Can you catch a glimpse of what's coming? We're going to be glorified together with the person of Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Those who are children of God. How do we do that? That's simple. It says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the power that he gives us to become a son of God, according to John 1. Friends, today, if it is that you have not experienced that yet today, don't walk out of here. There is lots and lots of people here
that want you to know the same joy that we know, that we're going to be exalted and glorified together with Jesus Christ. If we choose not to, then we're destined for the fires of hell. Let's pray today.
Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, as we have looked at this chapter, we've looked at this scripture today, we've seen, oh, the excitement, Father, of what's coming. But Lord, it is conditional.
Father, it's so exciting to think about the streets of heaven, the pure gold, the pure righteousness,
the holiness that we can experience,
the inheritance that we have of your kingdom with Jesus Christ.
Whew. Lord, I don't know that we can even understand that. Not at this point.
We can look at it, we can study it out, we can get excited about it, and we should.
Oh, but Father, it's conditional. It depends on our choice. You've given us that free will to choose. Lord, your word says that you're not slack concerning your promises.
The promises are going to take place. And Father, your word also says that you would that all would come to repentance. For whosoever, Father, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's available. Jesus Christ has paid the price, yes. He has made redemption possible for all of us, yes.
But Father, if we didn't have a choice, then how glorious would it be to you if we just by nature were already redeemed?
Father, it's so much more beautiful when we make the choice to come back to you. To leave this world of sin, shame, and Father, spiritually to be joined together with Christ as a joint heir to the kingdom of God. Lord God, I've asked for your Holy Spirit to move in this place today. May your will be accomplished here in the hearts of each and every one of us, sinner or sinner saved by grace. May your Spirit work.
As your heads are bowed and as your eyes are closed, I will ask you this morning that if you have not accepted Christ, friend, then you don't have much joy before you. Oh, sin might have its pleasure for a season, but afterward, the regret is going to be so great.
If today you want to see that same joy set before you, to strive toward that same glorification with Jesus Christ, to be eternally with God in heaven, make that choice today. Can I pray with you, please? I want to go before the Lord and lift you up, not by name, not by pointing you out, but Father, oh, Father, won't you give them the faith to acknowledge that they're sinners today? Won't you slip up your hand, sinner, if so be that today you want to get that resolved? Heads are bowed all over this room. Eyes are closed everywhere. But God sees and God knows. If you'll acknowledge, come to God, He will set this same joy before you and glorify you together as well. Is there anyone that does not see that before them today? May I pray with you? Anyone at all here today? God knows your heart. If today, Christian, you have been struggling with what is going on in everyday life, struggling to say, why, how much longer is this trial going to last? If you're depressed, if you're frustrated, if you are downhearted, Christian, may I encourage you today, please know that Jesus knows all about it. You can take your frustration to Him He says, casting all your care upon me, for I care for you. Christian, would you slip up your hand today and that we can pray together if you have experienced that frustration? I know that I have, and I do. Yes, Lord. Strengthen our hearts and our spirits, Lord. May we press on toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Our Father in heaven, oh, what a glorious, what an exciting prospect. What amazement and what wonder, Father, this promise holds. Yes, we are called upon to suffer with Christ, but that's not to just suffer the scourgings and the whippings and the beatings. Father, that is to suffer the ridicule, the separation from the world, the jeering perhaps, the slander perhaps. But Father, if we consider who it is that's hurling these things at us, Lord, won't you please give us a heart and a burden for them to pray for them? They don't understand. They don't have the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, won't you strengthen our resolve today? Let us see that joy. Let us experience that release in the person of Jesus Christ. I'd ask, Father, for your will to be accomplished. Lord, thank you for the patience of your folks here today. Thank you, Father, for those that watch over the internet. Thank you, Lord God, for those whom your Spirit is speaking to. Lord, you've promised that your word will not return void, and I am claiming that promise today that someone somewhere today has been spoken to by the Holy Spirit of God, and that there is joy in heaven today, Father, because that soul is coming back to you. Lord, thank you for your word of encouragement to me. Thank you for this message today. I pray and I ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of God through the shed blood on the cross of Calvary, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, Father, we pray today and we ask it all. Amen. Amen.